now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. As always, it's such a pleasure to have you with us as we study the Word of God together. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 28 today, specifically verses 30 to 31. And as you may already know, especially if you've been following us for any period of time, these are the final two verses of the book of Acts. And so we've come to the end of our journey and are actually going to be finishing up this amazing book during our time together today. And we began going through this book 2.5 years ago. This series has been our longest, spanning 132 messages. And in this study, we have seen some amazing things. We've gotten to experience the explosive start and spread of the early church, and how it pushed back the forces of darkness in and around the Mediterranean world and beyond. How God kept his promises to Abraham, that in him and in his seed, meaning Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the very Son of God, all the families of the earth would be blessed, as he promises in Genesis 12:3. It's been an amazing journey. And it ends with Paul finally reaching and ministering in the city of Rome, though as a prisoner rather than a free man. His journey has been one powerfully marked by faith and trust in the leadership of God. It says in verse 30, "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him." And then we have the final verse, verse 31, which I think could easily have been Paul's epitaph. And I hope that it might be a fitting one for any one of us as well. It says, "He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." Now, there with Paul in Rome through all of this was Luke. Also, Timothy often visited him, as did Tychicus, Epaphroditus, and Mark. And while he's under house arrest, Paul witnesses to the whole Roman guard, which we see in Philippians 1:13. And he's involved with the Roman believers. And in these captivity letters, Paul, he expresses his hope of being released and his confidence that he would be released. Now, the protocol would normally be that at the end of this 2-year period, if no accusers arrived and no charges had been sent against him, Paul would normally be automatically released. And he likely was, probably since he had been found innocent by all Roman officials up to this point. And ancient tradition tells us that during this free period, which is AD 63 to AD 66 or 67, Paul actually made it to Spain, as he had desired to do, on a 4th missionary journey. And the facts that support this are, first of all, Luke does not give us an account of Paul's trial before Caesar. And Luke was a very detailed chronicler. Second, as we said, the prosecution had 2 years to bring the case to trial, and time may have run out. Third, in his letter to the Philippians, which was written during his imprisonment in Rome, Paul implied that he would soon be released and would do further traveling. Fourth, Paul mentions several places where he intended to take the good news, but he never visited those places in his first 3 journeys. And fifth, early Christian literature talks very plainly about other travels by Paul. And sixth, and lastly, Paul's pastoral epistles contain items that can't be fitted into the book of Acts, which of course suggests that they were written later. For instance, Titus 1:5 implies that Paul ministered on the island of Crete, something that's not reported in the book of Acts. And so Paul, he most likely resumed his missionary travels for a few more years, visiting Spain, going back to the churches in Greece, as well as writing the books of 1 Timothy and Titus, before being rearrested and imprisoned again, probably in Rome, during which time he wrote his last letter, 2 Timothy, and then being retried, condemned, and executed as a martyr sometime around AD 67. Now, even though Paul was, of course, eventually arrested again and beheaded, Luke, and this is very unlike many Greek works, he wanted to end the book of Acts on a happy note, with the ministry of Paul thriving, as he's able to preach under the very nose of the Praetorian Guard, which just shows how much the Romans tolerated Christianity up until Nero began persecuting the church for political reasons. And this ministry to the Praetorian Guard, I mean, it had an incredible impact. I mean, just listen to what Paul writes in Philippians 1, 12 through 13. He says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." Now, you might wonder how Paul could have thought that his chains would advance the gospel. I mean, he was chained to a guard day in and day out. Nothing could be done except under the watchful eye of a guard. And this was the Praetorian Guard. This was the elite household guard of Caesar. One author I was reading said these guys got better pay, better assignments than most grunts. But he says, think of this. Guards were changed every 6 hours. That's 4 different soldiers every day, 28 times a week. In 2 years, he would have had contact with 3,000 of these guards. And what do you think Paul did every time he got a new guard? Have you heard about Jesus? This small, unassuming man, so closely guarded by these elite soldiers, he was the most dangerous man in Rome. Because he asked each and every one, "Have you heard about Jesus?" Paul wrote to Timothy about this experience and the fact that Roman soldiers were believing in Jesus and said, "I'm suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained." In fact, it was unleashed in that dark situation. Paul's imprisonment had opened the way for preaching the gospel to the finest regiment in the Roman army. All the Praetorian Guard knew why Paul was in prison, and many of them were touched by the gospel. And this author writes, "No wonder Paul declared that his imprisonment had actually been for the furtherance of the gospel. The news spread from guard to guard, to the families of the guards, and then to Caesar's household. And this very sight had to give great comfort and fresh courage to the Christian brethren there at Philippi." And note how Paul ends the Philippian letter by saying, "All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." And you know, this serves to remind us that no matter what situation we are in, we must be making sure that we are touching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what I think a lot of times happens to us is that when we are not in difficult circumstances, we get comfortable. We begin to rely on ourselves more than on God. We lose focus. We may believe the right things, but the mission of the gospel is not at the forefront of our minds. We allow ourselves to be sidetracked by any and every possible thing. But here, Paul models for us the mindset that we're supposed to have. whether in good times or in bad, whether during persecution or during peace, our mission is simple. Make the name of Christ known in every circumstance, both in what you say, but also in how you live. Now, another reason Luke ends where he does is because the book of Acts is not a book about the life of Paul, though it, of course, included a good deal about Paul. No, it's a book about the initial spread of the gospel of Christ. And that goal Luke had accomplished. Now that that gospel had been preached and the church had been established at the center of trade, at the center of government, it would spread across the entire world. But, and this is key, the story of Acts, it doesn't end. It continues. Because you and I are also part of that story. The miracle that is the story of the growth of the early church is the incredibly diverse group of people that God brought together and used. I mean, we're talking merchants, travelers, slaves, jailers, church leaders, males, females, Gentiles, Jews, rich, poor, you name it. And so many of them were just like us, just ordinary people who allowed God to continue His story through them. And that's the question I want to leave you with today. How is God going to continue His story through you? How are you, like these early Christians, bearing the gospel unto the world? What Samaritans are you bringing hope to? Who are the Ethiopian eunuchs you are helping to unveil the word of God to? Who is your Cornelius, your Lydia, the keeper of your prison, so to speak, who finds Christ through you? You know, many years ago in St. Louis, a lawyer visited a Christian to transact some business. And before the two parted, his client said to him, "You know, I've often wanted to ask you a question, but I've been afraid to do so." "What do you want to know?" asked the lawyer. The man replied, "I've wondered why you are not a Christian." And the man hung his head. "I know enough about the Bible to realize that it says no drunkard can enter the kingdom of God. And you know my weakness." "You're avoiding my questions," continued the believer. "Well, truthfully, I can't recall anyone ever explaining how to become a Christian." And picking up a Bible, the client read some passages showing that all people are under condemnation, but that Christ came to save the lost by dying on the cross for their sins. He said, "By receiving Him as your substitute and redeemer, you can be forgiven. If you're willing to receive Jesus, let's pray together right now." And the lawyer agreed. And when it was his turn, he exclaimed, "Oh, Jesus, I am a slave to drink. One of your servants has shown me how to be saved. Oh, God, forgive my sins and help me overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life." And right there, he was converted. And that lawyer was C.I. Schofield, who later edited the reference Bible that bears his name. It's amazing what little bit of courage to ask the important spiritual questions can bring about, isn't it? And we need to. Not just for the sake of others, but for our sakes as well. Because, you know, sometimes telling a story has as much an effect on the teller as it does the listeners. Martin Buber, the Jewish philosopher, he says, "My grandfather was lame. Once they asked him to tell a story about his teacher, and he related how his master used to hop and dance while he prayed. And my grandfather rose as he spoke and was so swept away by his story that he himself began to hop and dance to show how the master had done." From that hour, he was cured of his lameness. And you know, when you and I, when we tell the story of our master, we too experience his power. And so may we proclaim the good news of the power and salvation of God made manifest in Jesus Christ. And in that proclaiming, may God make us whole as well. You know, I'd like to close our message today, and really this entire series, with a reading of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. It is, of course, Jesus' great commission to all his followers, including us. And may we hear it today as his words to us. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" May we follow through in keeping that great commission. Let's commit to do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.